Welcome to Catholic Moms in the Middle, a podcast for midlife moms who want to live their lives in a way that creates a legacy of faith, hope, and love. In this show, I will equip and encourage you to become the person you were created to be by discovering your identity as a beloved daughter of God. This discovery allows you to live your unique God-given purpose to bring hope, joy, and healing to those around you. My goal is to help you encounter the love of the Father, to find healing and transformation through the Holy Spirit, so that you can courageously magnify Christ in your marriage, with your children, in your communities, and with everyone you encounter in your daily life. Hey friends, I'm Jenny Gwynn, and this is Catholic Moms in the Middle. So today, I want to introduce you to Anne Trufant. I met Anne this past summer at a women's retreat in Nashville, and I could tell right away she was a powerhouse for God. Our conversations together were filled with insight and wisdom. As many of my listeners know, I like to interview people who are magnifying Christ in their lives. Sometimes it's in big ways, but sometimes it's in the way that they live their ordinary daily life. Anne and her family are definitely serving God in big ways through their summer camp and ministry, Mission on the Mountain. Anne says about her ministry, "The mountain is a place of encountering God's glory and being taught his ways so that we are changed." Anne, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I'm so grateful that you're here. We only spent a couple of days together last summer, but we had some of the most insightful conversations, and we're also excited here in Nashville that you're going to be our Magnificat speaker in June. So we'll get to hear your testimony there.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I haven't spoken at a Magnificat in a while, and I'm looking very forward to being with you all.
Yeah, we have a beautiful community of women here. So let's talk about your faith journey. And I look at you now, and you are so on fire with the Lord, with your ministry. I've heard talks that you've done, attended your retreats. Has it always been that way for you, or did it take a while for you to get to that point?
I grew up in New Orleans, grew up in a Catholic family, and did Catholic things. You know, I went to Catholic school, I went to Mass, I did my thing. I remember reading scripture in high school because it was our religion class, was the New Testament. I felt like it was dry as paste. And I got talked into going, it was just, yeah. And as a sophomore in high school, growing up in New Orleans, it was like, stop. You know, this is not, this. Right. That was then, this is now, how is this relevant? I had an encounter with the Lord that I didn't even know was possible. I had absolutely no grid for that. He was just pouring liquid love into me, and I started to sob, and electricity is shooting through me. And to say the least, it was a world-rocking moment. I was radically changed from that moment on. And all of a sudden, what's funny is one of the gifts I was given was scripture. I have just a passion for scripture and a fire for it. And on this retreat that I just gave in Alabama, all the folks were saying, well, scripture, you know, we're Catholic, so scripture's hard for us. And I said, okay, but that's the biggest lie of the enemy, because he'll put the Bible together. This is our block. You know, and so happy that our Protestant brothers and sisters seem to have a sense, because they can teach us so much and an ease with scripture. But this book was put together by the Catholic Church. We need to know it, because if we don't, then we don't know what Jesus says. And how do we get to know him? You know, and so it started me on a journey, and it was an up and down for many years, all through college. And then I was hired as the first youth minister in the Diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina, moved there. And my world was just continually rocked. And what the Lord did was amazing. Went home, went back to Baton Rouge to get a master's in social work, because I was doing so much counseling and I figured I better get some training. Ended up helping to open a home for unwed mothers. And we talked Mother Teresa into taking it over. And so that was an amazing opportunity to work with her for several years. She'd come in several times a year, and just amazing stories from that. And then David and I got just really slam dunked with two summer camps in North Carolina. We'd both grown up going to different summer camps. It had been a passion of ours. We talked forever about doing that, but who gets to have summer camps? Like, how does that happen? Usually they pass down families, you know. And we had zero money. He was a photographer. I was a social worker. We had four children, and the Lord, that is an absolutely hysterical story for another day, but the Lord opened door after door after door and just kept shoving us through it. And so one of the things that we live by is, hey, God, if you want us to do this, this is a very profound theological fact, people, so stay with me. Hey, God, if you want us to do it, open the door and just shove us through, because we're not smart enough to get it any other way. It was outrageous, outrageous. One thing after another after another. We landed here with four children, seven down to two in mid-March, and we opened. It's 35 years this year. We opened in June. Crazily, that was nuts, but been doing it ever since. Be careful. Be prepared, because if you say, my God, use me. And then we started the Mission on the Mountain during COVID. We were going to have a two-week little school of ministry. Sort of, we have Encounter Ministry, which is a great two-year program. Joe Moody's School, Agape, Randy Clark's School, Global Awakening. But we wanted a launch pad kind of school, especially for Catholics who were trying to understand the whole realm of the Holy Spirit and what does it have to do with me. So we started the Mission on the Mountain, had a two-week, it was full, had a two-week ministry school set up, and COVID hit. Our whole thing is to teach, equip, activate, launch you into your world, knowing your identity, knowing your authority in Christ, having a deeper sense of how to pray, how to connect with Him, how to hear Him, all these things. And so that's been my last 3 or 4 years developing the Mission on the Mountain. We're about to have an 8-month equipping series. And my goal, because I have my two oldest are girls and they have children and jobs, and they both said, Mom, you got 10 minutes. That's all we can get. So yes. We're going to have this equipping series is going to be not only affordable, but able to be done by anybody, however busy their life is.
That's amazing.
We want to build community. So if you had 8 people or 17 groups of 8 people, you know, we would want to be able to facilitate a building of community so people can actually be growing together on a continuous basis. So
that's beautiful. So I want to ask you, sometimes I work with women who might listen to your story and all these amazing ways that God has worked in your life and shoved you through the doors, but yet they're standing back thinking, I'm willing, I want to do something. You know, I'm going to church, I'm learning about the faith, I'm reading scripture, but yet they feel like God hasn't launched them. God hasn't pushed them through that door with all of this meaning. What would you say to them?
You know, a very wise spiritual director told me years ago, Ann, be where your feet are.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Be where your feet are. So, you know, I spoke with a young woman recently who was in her mid-30s, and she said, I just know God has such a destiny for me, and I'm not in it yet. And I said, oh, in fact, yes, you are. If we are always looking for the more, we're going to miss the now, where all the grace is, because the Lord has grace for this moment in our lives. So this is a typical day for Anne. It's not a trip to Africa. You know, typical day is grocery store, because even though we're supposed to be empty nesters, we live at camp. Some of our kids live around. We've got all these counselor interns here. I never know who I'm cooking for, but a typical day for me will be grocery store. And I will kind of get a nudge in my spirit. Go pray with that person. Ew, like the gal, you know, checking me out at the grocery. You know?
Right.
She's complaining about stomach issues. Why don't you just ask her if you could pray for her? And I'm thinking, no, which I often say. But you know, what we want to say is not, Lord, where are you launching me into great things? Because our lives are the day to day to day. How about the person right in front of us that we're not connecting with? You know, they're so familiar to us, we're not paying attention. What if our Lent is supposed to be asking the Lord to give me, just point out to me the one virtue I most need. And then give me the grace to practice it every day, whether I'm in my house, in the grocery, driving carpools, whatever I'm doing, going to work, whatever I'm doing, be where your feet are. And Jesus is in that space. And there are people everywhere in need. And Jenny, I know you know, wherever I go, people are starving. They're starving. Yeah. They want to be used. They want more. Well, okay, but it may not be being used the way you think.
Right.
It's supposed to be. Maybe it's like the woman in the grocery store. And I literally said no when I kept getting this nudge. Why don't you pray for her? I'm in the line, but they're like six people behind me. I'm thinking, I'm not going to, no. But do you know, I got bugged for 3 days. And it wasn't, a lot of times we feel like hearing God is going to be like Charlton Heston's voice, you know, this big woman's male voice, rather than a nudge. Hey, why don't you pray for her? She's sitting over there complaining about her stomach. Why don't you just say, hey, can I just ask the Lord to bless you? We don't have to have any big words. Jesus, you hear her. She's in pain. I just ask you to bless her today and heal her. Lord, thank you. Amen. Yeah. And I had to go back 3 days later and get in that woman's line. By the way, she didn't want prayer. She goes, what? I'm like, great.
So right.
Then I said, but could I just say a quick prayer for you? So our thing is to be obedient, but it's not out there looking for the big ways God's going to use me. You have no idea how he may use you, even just to smile at somebody, because we're in the most connected generation of all time, but the least connected. We are the least connected generation. We're on our phones. We're not paying attention. We're not looking people in the eye. And it is so important just to notice someone. And we have no idea if that person is feeling utterly alone. We don't know people's stories. So beginning to pay attention, one of the things I try to do every morning is say, hey, Jesus, who's on your heart? Who do you want to highlight for me? Maybe it's somebody I need to pick up the phone and call and just say, hey, maybe it's, somebody I just, you, somebody just sort of is highlighted in the store, or my child's teacher, whatever. People are hurting everywhere. How can I just bring Jesus' love into a situation? And when we start practicing that, and when we become more and more aware of Jesus' presence in us, because we carry him, the right. living God, we carry him. We had the Holy Spirit given at baptism, sealed and stirred up at confirmation. And if we feel like we have no gifts, we carry the one who has every gift.
Absolutely.
So we just need to be aware of that.
I tend to see people that feel like maybe God's not speaking to them, or they don't know how to hear the voice of God. What do you say to people about that?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times we think, again, Charlton Heston, big booming voice, you know, male voice, by the way, that is going to come and part the clouds. Here's the thing. Everybody is not a hearer. Some people are seers. Some people are just knowers. They just can intuit stuff. The Lord uses all of our five senses. And so I have a real good friend who has 11 children, actually, but two of her kids love to do street ministry. And one of them hears. She'll just go to the grocery store and just ask the Lord to show her people to pray for her. And I don't know about you, but my children aren't out doing that. But the younger one, who was, I think, 13 at the time that this happened, and it's brilliant for this particular question of yours. When they got home, the mom said, so, you know, what did you hear? And the older one said, oh, I heard all kinds of things. I heard that one was struggling, you know, with this. And she looked at the younger one and said, what did you hear? And she goes, I didn't hear anything. And she said, well, what do you mean? You get words for people all the time. She goes, oh, I just know. Mm-hmm. So in part, the Lord promises in John 14 that we will know him. We will hear his voice. But the thing is, how we're going to hear may be different for you and me. Sometimes I used to see pictures. I don't see so many pictures anymore. Mostly for me, I just know. I just know. I don't know if it's 40-something years of being a therapist or if it's one of the gifts from 1 Corinthians 12 called a word of knowledge, where the Lord just gives you some information about someone. I kind of just know, and I have to be willing to then share it, because that's a tremendous blessing for someone. So for hearing, there's a course called, I think it's Connecting with God by Kevin McCall on the Mission on the Mountain website. And it's 6 talks, and it's powerful on hearing God. So I would strongly suggest, again, themissiononthemountain.com, Kevin McCall, and it's a beautiful walkthrough of how we can learn to be aware, because God's always speaking. Sometimes we just need to turn our own thinking and our own heart to a different channel to tune in to where God's already talking.
So that's a great visual to think about. Yeah, to do that. It takes practice. As we were talking before we started recording, you were telling me you asked a question from a retreat this past weekend, and it was so powerful, I wrote it down. Your retreat was about giving God your fiat, saying yes to God in all the ways. But you said one of the questions that you asked was, how would the enemy mess with me?
So because women are so important, I was just reading, I'm doing the Bible in a year, and I was reading the notes before the book of Judges this morning. Jeff Cavins was saying, you know, Rahab, who was the harlot who was kind to the Israelites and hid them. And so she and her family were saved and allowed to live with the Israelites. And Ruth was another example of someone who said, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. And she was the great grandmother of King David. And he was just talking about the power of women. I am not a feminist, you know. I mean, the power of women, the power of men, everybody has their gifts. But I think for women, what we don't always remember is that scripture says the woman will crush the heel. And yes, we know that that's Mary, but look at how the enemy messes with women. Why? We can, well, for a number of reasons, but one of them is that we carry the seed of life. We can give birth to those with a soul who then immortally belong to God. And there's so many things that the enemy would want to destroy in women. Number one, that we don't know who we are, that we don't know whose we are. And so the voices that we hear that are condemning. I think a very, very important thing to remember is if you hear condemning thoughts, that is never, ever from God. My spiritual director used to tell me, and God can correct you with a wink. You know, he can, and that's called conviction. Conviction, right. I know my sin. I know where I need to work. Condemnation folds me over. And that's what the enemy wants to do. So the question is, if I were the enemy, how would I mess with Jenny? It's going to be different than how he would mess with me. And the fact is, he loves to mess with us, you know, because he wants to cripple us and he wants to keep us. What's a lie for you? That child will never come back. This marriage can't be saved. I'm fat. I don't have any gifts. God, why would God ever want to use me? I got nothing. And I hadn't been faithful. And all of those things are there's always a little truth in what Satan says, you know. But I want to suggest that Catherine of Siena, who I love, had an interesting experience with Satan. And he came to her and he said, you are a saint. Do you know that everybody thinks you're a saint? Wow. It must be amazing to be you. And she goes, you know what? Whatever I am, it's just because of the grace and the goodness of God. And then that didn't work. So he tried another way. And he said, you should be so much farther along. Well, I hear that all the time. You should be so much farther along. And she said, you know what? You're absolutely correct. So once again, I can only fall on the grace and the mercy of God. And so I think this is about us knowing the condemning voices that we hear,
right,
but then realizing that all through salvation history, people were weak, they were sinners, they were faithless over and over and over, and God continued to raise up a few people, mighty, mighty, who just would stay the course and intercede. And there are over 7,700 oaths in Scripture, God's oaths to us of his faithfulness and love and mercy. They are not if you clean up your act. They're not when you clean up your act.
Right.
They're, I am faithful. He might as well put a comma, and I know you aren't, but I'm going to be faithful, and I hope you get on the train. So I think that it's so important for us to battle, really battle. And just even, it's not a bad idea to write down, what are those condemning voices you always hear? And remember, God can correct us with a wink.
Well, and I really encourage the women that I work with to journal, and I teach them a way to journal that they're putting all of the thoughts in their brain on paper so that they can see what they're thinking, because those thoughts lead to beliefs and those thoughts uncover the lies.
Right.
And we talk a lot about, you know, let's fact check some stuff. I'm behind, or I'm not doing enough. Like, is that really true? We go back and really like poke holes in them so that they can see this big thought that I have that directs my life. It's not even true. Like, I can just let go of it and replace it with something that comes from God. I just love asking yourself, where would the enemy mess with me? That's so powerful to look at those habitual sins, vices, and lies, and all of those things that seem to constantly come up.
You know, I'm doing the Lent 40 on the Hallow app, and it's interesting because they're reading a book by Father Walter Chiswick, He Leadeth Me, and this was my father's favorite book. So I read it in college, and I'm going to read it again. But one of the things that women fight with, because we're used to managing homes and, you know, half of us are working and we have kids and we're doing all this and we have to get it right. We're so worried about getting everything right. And we have these big calendars and, oh my goodness. I get it. I am in it. But one of the things that's going on in this particular story of Father Walter is he prepared for years. He would swim in cold water and he would run 6 miles a day, and he was preparing himself to be the one who could stay the course when it was the hardest of the hard, and he failed.
Mm.
He came face to face with just folding at a time that was critical. And he was so disappointed, and the Lord was teaching him, I want you little. I want your witness. It's my greatest joy to be your savior. This is where the Lord wants us, which is completely the opposite of how the world paints the world of a mom in the middle, or, you know, whether or not we're actual moms, we're wired as spiritual moms, and there are people in our lives that we touch, and, you know, we have to be at work, and we have to do this, and we have to do this, and we have to do all these things. And the bottom line is, St. Therese did it right. He wants us little and totally resting in him so that he can do what he wants to do in us. Jesus, you take over. You handle everything. He's just saying, just let me hold you. Let me love you. You're so tired. You're so tired. You're trying so hard. I want to do that with you. My yoke is easy and burden light. Let me have all the things that are messing with you, all the things that are exhausting you. Let me take it. Just let me have the joy of being your savior. Right, so.
Yeah, and that's the complete opposite of what the world teaches us.
Yeah.
The world teaches us we have to be self-reliant and do it on our own, and don't let up. Don't surrender is kind of a dirty word in the world, but it's so beautiful. Surrender's the most beautiful word when you use it in our faith.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Anne, as we wrap up, tell us a little bit about the retreat coming up in Natchez, Mississippi in April.
Okay. So if you go to themissiononthemountain.com, it will be smashed all over as soon as you go to that. So the weekend of April 19th through 21st in Natchez, Mississippi, there are three of us, me, Barbara Heil, who is an amazing speaker, and Joanne Moody, who is an amazing speaker. Both of those women have tremendous gifts. Jo Moody's story, as you know well, Jenny, she had 13 or 14 years of surgery after surgery after surgery for pudendal nerve entrapment, and she was in horrible pain and nothing was working, and she actually bled out on the table and went to see Jesus and chose to come back for her one child. But the Lord has given her tremendous healing gifts, and so we know that we will be seeing all kinds of healings and miracles. Barbara Heil, former evangelical, now Catholic, also very gifted. And very funny. She went through all this schooling in the evangelical world to get a certificate so she could convert Catholics, and now she is Catholic. She's adorable. And it's going to be a wonderful, fun, fiery time. Our title is Deep Dive into the Extravagant Love of God. I promise you a weekend full of amazing things. We're going to have time for hands-on stuff, and our whole thing is to create encounters for you where the Lord can encounter you. The teaching, yes, but more actually the activating, like helping you understand how God wants to touch you and use you in beautiful, amazing ways right in your little world. So we invite you, please come to our deep dive into the extravagant love of God.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Anne, for being here today, for just taking time to share your wisdom and insight. Will you close us in prayer?
I'll be glad to. So, Father God, I just ask that for whoever is listening right now, Lord, you place your hand at the place of deepest need, heart, mind, soul, and body, and that you touch each of these beautiful people with a gift of your love, your grace, your healing, your power, your presence. Father, we just want more of you. And so often we don't even know how to get that. We don't even know what a next step would look like, but you do. And you say, unless you come as children, little children, you won't inherit the kingdom. So Lord, we're here. We say, we want to come as little children. We got nothing. We know nothing. Take us by the hand and lead us, Lord, and fill us. Open the eyes of our heart. Ephesians 1:18, may the eyes of your heart be flooded with light, that you may know the hope to which you are called in Christ Jesus. So Lord, open the eyes of our heart so that we can know the hope to which we are called in Christ Jesus. And we'll give you all the glory and the honor, Lord. And we just praise you. Amen and amen.
The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All right, Anne, thank you again for being here.
Thank you. It was great to be with you.
Yes. All right, friends, until we meet again next week, go out and magnify Christ in your little corner of the world. God bless. To learn more about my ministry for midlife women, go to CatholicMomsInTheMiddle.com and be sure to check out Magnify, my online community for women, where you will grow deeper in your faith. You'll find inner healing in areas where you have struggled for years, and you'll be equipped and encouraged to become the person God has called you to be so that you can go out and magnify Christ in the world. The music for this podcast was written by Sean Williams, Catholic composer and musician. You'll find more of Sean's original music at musicbyseanwilliams.com. That is music by SHAWN Williams.com.